All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because we are back with Bible Black. And this one has a lot of H, so if you missed the hentai scenes this time, or last time, you're going to get a bunch of them now. So let's go ahead and get started. Oh, man, I guess I have no choice. Amari rummages under the bed and picks something up. Here it is. What was under the bed again? I better be careful not to mess up this time. Let's see, since you're supposed to turn it in the opposite direction of the screws, that means... Muttering all the while, Amari slips something around my leg just like yesterday. Gah! Instantly, I shove away my blanket and jump up. What the hell are you doing? Huh? I haven't done anything yet. As if I'd let her. Besides, I can see that she's got the voltage wrong again. Is she one of those people who's never even used a screwdriver before? But it's great that you got up on your own. If she's gonna wake me up with that torture device, I'd rather not sleep at all. I better hide that contraption somewhere by the end of the day. What an unbelievable device, huh? You're the one who's unbelievable. Amari and I walk to school together. You're really popular these days, Minase. Amari brings up the subject all of a sudden. Huh? You're always being surrounded during every study hall. Come to think of it, ever since that incident with Mirai, all these girls keep coming up to me during study hall hoping I'll cast spells for them. Needless to say, I always turn them down. I can't take all their requests or I'll never be through with them. Besides, I've got to avoid generating any more weird gossip. It's just a pain in the ass for me. Liar, you know you're enjoying it. I don't know, you're acting pretty strange these days. Always reading weird books? Practicing black magic? It's really strange. So what? It's not like I'm causing you any trouble. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. These days, it's getting harder and harder to get you out of bed. And also, who's she to talk? Amari's acting pretty weird herself today. I guess she's still holding a grudge from what happened yesterday. I'm guessing you've got your period today. Bam! You jerk! The heck with you anyway. I'm going on ahead. With that, Amari storms off. I was only kidding. I happen to see Nanagusa in the locker area. Nanagusa notices me too and looks over. Nanagusa gives me a glance and quickly looks away. It's a very awkward moment. She might have guessed that I stole some of her photos. Or some of the photos, rather. But it's too late for me to give them back to her now. What's going on? Nothing. When I get to my classroom, there are already a few other students there. Psyche's one of them. Good morning. Psyche greets me as if nothing happened yesterday. So she's got her school face on at school, huh? Okay. I try to look as indifferent as possible and go to my own seat. Hey Minase, I want you to cast another spell for me. The second I do, Mirai pounces on me. Here it comes! At first I liked getting all the attention, but now it's a pain in the ass. I just did one for you the other day! Well, the thing is, for a virile guy, he finishes way too fast. So I was wondering if you had a spell that would make him last longer. Mirai clasps her hands together in a beseeching manner. What the hell does she want me to do anyway? If he comes too fast, then tie up his prick! Sorry, I'm not in the mood today. I say this in a disgusted tone. Of course, I have no intention of ever casting a spell for her again. If I did as she asked, I'd soon be swamped with requests. Why the hell should I have to listen to someone bitching about their sex life? What? Minase, you're just being mean. Go ask Psyche to help you out with that kind of problem. Can't you see I'm asking because I respect your power, please? To be blunt, it's a huge pain in the ass. I ignore Mariah and put my head down on the desk. Come on, don't pretend to be asleep. Come on. Eventually class starts. The bell rings and lunch hour begins. Hey Minase, let's eat together. Me too. And Mari had been on her way to my desk with her little lunchbox in her hands, but she sees what's happening and goes back to her own desk looking sad. Things have changed for me somehow. In recent days, it feels as though I've started to lose control. These girls who started surrounding me, you can tell they're only trying to get on my good side because I've suddenly become a hot topic. I bet they're only thinking it might come in handy sometime to have me for a friend. I'd take Amari over this bunch any day. I take the lunch my sister made for me out of my bag. I see those girls dragging their chairs over to my desk, clutching their lunchboxes. It's not that I don't like the idea of eating with the girls, but for some reason it makes me sigh. Slam! Just then the door slams open, shattering the lunchtime peace. A group of guys is muscling their way into the room. Instantly, the room grows quiet. These guys are part of our school's most notorious gangs. They're stereotypical delinquents, now a rare sight on co-ed campuses such as ours. I hear they pretty much rule the school. Some idiot must have rubbed these jerks the wrong way. I've heard they do drugs, too. Ooh, they're some bad brothers. And it's safer not to get involved with the likes of them. These thugs will pick a fight with you at the drop of a hat. On top of that, I've heard they do drugs, too. Man, they do drugs. They do drugs twice, folks. Look, I'm just reading what it says here. Not only they do drugs, they do drugs. It's safer not to get involved with the likes of them. Yeah. Thud, thud, thud. They're headed my way, kicking aside all nearby desks and chairs. An arrogant guy named Inoue leads the way. He looks pretty tough, but there's no telling if he really is. But who the hell could it be? The moron who's gonna get dragged away by this gang? Are you Minase? Come with us. Huh? They're after me? Oh, sorry. I just remembered I have something to do. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Me too. Squeak, squeak, squeak. All at once, the girls who've been surrounding me scatter in all directions like, thanks a lot. I think you've got the wrong guy. I said this to Inoue in a timid voice. I don't remember ever picking a fight with them or getting baited by them either. Aren't you Taki Minase? Hold on. What does it say here? Oh, okay. Yes, I answer honestly. Then there's no mistake. I guess they are after me. What should I do? I can't use magic to get out of this. Plus, I have no confidence when it comes to fights. Take him away! With that, the gang surrounds me and drags me out of the classroom. What do you think you're doing? The gang drags me up to the roof. Listen, punk, do you know why we brought you here? I shake my head. What did I ever do to you? I'm perfectly aware that it would do me no good to ask them that. Jerks like these don't need a reason. For them, this is no more than a way to kill time, something to do when they're bored. But I wish I knew why they picked me. I hear you're popular with the girls these days, Minase. We've heard all the rumors. You've become the big man on campus using black magic, isn't that right? What are you gonna do, summon a demon and take over the world? The guys behind him snicker at these words. Who knew the rumors had spread this far? We want you to show us, see? Show us your power. Remember, they do drugs. You're an eyesore, a moron like you. Thanks to your spells, we've been hearing all kinds of complaints. What are you gonna do about that, huh? They're talking about the Mirai incident. After Mirai cast the same spell for a bunch of girls, it's not surprising that some people would bear a grudge against me hearing about my black magic. The guy Mirai was after, I'd forced him to break up with his girlfriend after all. I'm sure she's got it in. She's got it in for me. And besides, I can't stand guys like you. Dweebs like you get off on something like black magic. Just looking at you pisses me off. Plus, I'm in a really bad mood today. I stepped in dog shit on my way here this morning. I got a ticket for parking my bike in front of my house, so now my license suspended. And it's all because of you, so now I'm gonna make you pay. What the hell is he talking about? So that's the deal. Don't blame me. You only have yourself to blame. Beat the crap out of him. All at once, the whole gang jumps me. Pow! Nobody's pulling any punches and I go flying. I'm pummeled to the ground. Sparks are going off inside my head and I'm in a daze. Whack! Now that I'm on the ground, I'm getting kicked mercilessly. Don't mess with us, you little punk! Whack! You little dweeb, why don't you just go home and jerk off? Being pummeled. Whack! I'm helpless. I have no choice but to let them pound away at me. I just try to endure the pain. Damn it, get up, Minase. It's too early for bedtime. Well, that, in a way, forces me to stand up. Don't think you're gonna get off with a little beating like this. We're gonna make sure we put you in the hospital for at least a week. Inoue smirks when he sees the suffering on my face. He draws back his fist to strike me again. Stop it right now! All of a sudden, a voice reverberates across the rooftop. Amari! I whisper her name when I see who just spoke. Amari's standing there. She's glaring at the guys. She must have come up here worried about me. I know it's lame to have a girl stand up for me, but at this moment, there's no sweeter sight for sore eyes. Who the hell are you? Inoue shoves me aside. He stands there glaring suspiciously at this brash-looking girl who just appeared. That kid's classmate. So what do you want, classmate? Three against one? Aren't you ashamed of yourselves? Nope, it doesn't bother me at all. Anyway, I could take a guy like him on my own, no problem. Just listen to him. Although it's true, I don't think I have a chance against him even one-on-one. These guys are always fighting, so someone like me must be mere clay in their hands. If you don't stop beating up on him, I'll take you on myself. Amari stands in front of the gang and makes this gallant proclamation. I'm sure it would be a comical sight to someone who didn't know what was going on. Three guys against one girl, plus they're way bigger than she is. Hey, listen, don't think because you're a girl that I won't hit you. Sorry, but I'm no feminist. I don't have a problem hitting girls. The guys look insulted by Amari's words. They have no idea how tough she is. Amari's been taking Shorinji Kenpo lessons since she was small. My parents forced me to take lessons with her too, but I didn't stick with it for long. Amari always finished what she starts, she's been practicing ever since. She's even won a national tournament. She's got what it takes to make short work of your average male thug. Fine by me. Besides, if you try to hold back, I might really do some serious damage to you. Listen till you shoot off your mouth. Hey, make this stupid little bitch grovel on the ground. Just leave it to me. One of the thugs advances with a nasty leer on his face. Don't underestimate me because I'm a girl. No sweat. After I knock you out, I'm gonna lick your tits. He grins lewdly at Amari as he advances, fist aimed at Amari's face. Whack! Amari casually deflects his right hook with a chop of her right hand. Then she balls that hand into a fist and pummels the thug in the face with blinding force. Slam! Ugh. With a sickening thud, her fist sinks into the thug's cheek. The thug covers his face with both hands, then sinks to his knees. Blood squirts from his fingers. What did I tell you? Amari waves her right hand with a cool look on her face, so it's the guy who's ended up groveling on the ground. Forgot to mention that I'm a black belt in Shorinji Kenpo. Sorry. You little... Seeing his crony knocked down with a single punch, Inoue begins to tremble with rage. Shorinji Kenpo or not, you're still nothing but a girl. We got all our training on the streets. We'll show you the difference. Inoue motions with his eyes, and the other guy slowly advances. Despite Inoue's tough talk, this thug is clearly rattled by what he just saw from Amari. Go to hell, bitch! He rushes towards Amari menacingly and unleashes a full-on kick at Amari. You can hear the sound of his boots slicing the air in an arc towards her body. But at the last second, Amari dodges a blow. The thug's kick misses its target and he loses balance. Without a moment's hesitation, Amari aims a kick of her own in his side, which is wide open to attack. Making a half turn with her left foot, her other foot sails through the air and in a clean arc, and she sinks her frail-looking foot into his side. Thud! The thug doesn't even have time to yell before he goes flying through the air sideways. Soon he's rolling on the ground. You're so lame. What happened to all that bluster? Amari stands there brushing off her hands. And Inoue is standing in disbelief at the two guys on the ground. What the hell? Now there's only you. What's it gonna be? Do you want to take me on? Amari is confident she asks Inoue this. Clearly, their fortunes have been reversed. Damn right I do. I'm not backing down now. Hey, how long are you gonna stay down? Help me out! The first thug struggles to his feet at Inoue's words. They signaled each other with their eyes and turn on Amari as one. Take this, you! Even though it's 2-on-1, Amari stays calm as she makes her move. First, she sets herself at the first guy's attack and deflects his fist. Then she blocks the other guy's kick from behind her from the knee. The sound of physical contact reverberates across the rooftop. That's really low, you know. Two guys against one girl. Having dodged their attacks, Amari falls back, still in position. This isn't about being low or fair. All that matters is that we win. With that, they rush her again. Oh? That's all Amari says as she swiftly braces herself. The two guys are rushing her from the front and from behind. Amari sets herself to take on the frontal assault while keeping her eyes on the attacker behind her. The guy behind her makes his move first. Closing the gap between them in an instant, he feints a jab, then unleashes a full-on punch towards Amari's face. Without batting an eyelid, Amari deflects the punch with one arm. Then as the guy lunges to attack, she delivers a blow to his neck, putting all her weight behind it. It's a knockout punch. Gagging, the thug goes down. But Amari has no time to rest as Inoue makes his move. He's going to blindside her with a kick. She senses him coming and quickly turns to face him, but by that time he's already within striking distance. She manages to deflect the kick while off balance, but Inoue's kick is so well aimed that she can't deflect it completely. Ugh! Amari's face contorts with pain as she absorbs a shock of contact. She glares at him and uncharacteristically takes the offensive. She rushes in under his arms. The gap between them closes. Ha! Lowering her center of gravity, she bends her knees and catapults herself against Inoue. There's a dull thud. Inoue is elbowed in the chest. He gasps for air as he bends his body forward. Amari elbows him, then backhands his face, which is leaning forward. The elbowing and the backhand punch are delivered smoothly and with merciless destructive force. Without a word, Inoue crumples to the ground. Oh man, you didn't even challenge me! Amari scoffs at Inoue and puts her hands on her hips. She sighs in a resigned manner. She's barely out of breath even though she took on all those guys. I've been watching all this with my mouth hanging open. I never dreamed she had moves like these. I hadn't seen her do Kenpo in a while, but she's even more lethal now than she was before. Right now, she looks like just like any ordinary girl. But then girls who go through ruthless training are to be feared. You bitch, I swear I'm gonna kill you! Inoue struggles to his feet. Inoue struggles to his feet with a look of pain on his face. Then he pulls a switchblade out of his pocket and he flicks the blade open with a snap. You mean you can't take on a girl unless you have a weapon like that in your hands? Amari looks disgusted. Shut the hell up! Apparently you can't think of an excuse. I'm gonna use this on your face so I never have to see it again. With an evil smile, he advances towards Amari, waving the knife. There's a cold sweat on his brow. Inoue must really be at the end of his rope now. With Amari's unexpected arrival, he and his posse have fallen completely apart. But even Amari is unnerved by the sight of the knife. If Inoue's got a knife, she's definitely at a disadvantage. Stop right there. Just then, there's a voice from the doorway. We all look towards the voice. A big, muscular guy is striding towards us. From the looks of him, no way is he on our side. Shinjo! Inoue calls out to him. So this is Shinjo, the leader of this gang here. The guy who runs the school, aka Shinjo the Repeater. He's a notorious delinquent who rarely shows his face at school. Apparently he's in school today. He only shows up when he feels like it. I haven't seen him in a while myself. Rumor has it his dad's a city councilman, which is why he's escaped expulsion despite his many transgressions. She really did a number on you guys, huh? Shinjo looks around at the guys on the ground, still moaning in pain. That's because, see, we went easy on her because she's a girl and this is what happened. I'm sure it would have happened even if they hadn't gone easy on her. Shinjo slowly turns his gaze towards Amari. Little girl, I think you pushed your luck a little too much. Shinjo looks down on Amari, his eyes icy as he says this. They're the ones who picked the fight, you know. Amari looks right back at Shinjo as she flings his retort at him. Oh yeah? Well, sorry about that. Shinjo laughs derisively. To show you just how sorry I am, why don't I take you on next? So saying, Shinjo starts cracking his knuckles. When this guy does it, he sure looks fierce. Amari continues to stare at Shinjo without flinching. I hear you're a really good fighter. Amari's right, I've heard the rumors too. Apparently this Shinjo is a formidable karate master. Judging by the way he's built, I can believe it. You'll find out if you take me on. So saying, Shinjo takes his position, hunching over slightly. He holds his elbows over his side, against his side, his arms relaxed. It's not a textbook position, it's for street fighting. In contrast, Amari assumes a textbook position. She holds her right arm against her side, her left arm bent at a right angle so it's perpendicular to her opponent. Karate and Shorinji Kenpo are two totally different animals. In karate, you use force, you attack from top to bottom. You utilize your body weight in karate so you can wreak maximum havoc. Shorinji, on the other hand, involves using your whole body to thrust upward from bottom to top. You go from bottom to top so you can be sure to hit your opponent's vulnerable points. And this way, even... Hold on. There we go. Yeah, if someone without a lot of physical strength can do some serious damage, Amari's at a clear disadvantage. And Shorinji, there are more moves where you attack after receiving an attack. It's effective so long as there's no real discrepancy in height and weight, but since Shinjo's so much bigger than her, Amari's at a clear disadvantage. Okay. This isn't gonna be another scuffle with an amateur. Half-ass Kenpo, huh? You think you can take me out with sneaky-ass tactics like that? You're really confident. I have nothing against you, but I do have an image to maintain. Don't hate me, okay? I won't slack off just because I'm a girl. It's for your own safety. Amari waits for Shinjo to make the first move. She's sticking to the book. Make him make the first move, then switch to attack mode. Shinjo lets out a breath and releases one of his log-like legs towards Amari's frail body. The kick slices through the air. Amari jumps to the side to avoid it. As if he'd been anticipating that move, Shinjo throws a fist in her direction. Amari barely manages to dodge the blow by twisting away. With her left hand, she grabs the fist that ends up in the space she just vacated, puts up her right arm, and gets ready to throw him. To create an opportunity to make the throw, Amari starts to press against Shinjo's chest, but at that moment, Shinjo brings up his right knee in Amari's direction. Seeing this, Amari lets go of Shinjo's hand and blocks the knee in front of her. Amari's body is rocked from the shock of impact. Shinjo sneers. Amari is right in front of Shinjo, totally vulnerable. In that instant, Shinjo unleashes a ferocious kick with his right foot. She has no time to dodge. Amari instantly bends her left arm and left leg to guard against the attack. She's going to try to block it. Whack! There's a huge thud and Amari's body is bent over sharply. Shinjo's kick is so brutal that it's able to breach Amari's guard. Amari might have thought she was totally protected, but in reality she'd done nothing more than cushion the blow slightly. Amari's face contorts in pain. If she hadn't had her guard up, she could have easily broken a bone or two. Amari is wobbling on her feet, but she maintains her stance. Her eyes are unfocused. She has my respect for not collapsing. We're done here. With these cold words, Shinjo pulls back his fist to strike her in the upper body, now unprotected. Whack! He delivers a merciless blow to Amari's dazed face. I can't believe he'd do that to a girl. What a cold bastard. Ugh. Wow. This is blood, bro. Amari crumples to her knees. Then she falls onto the ground like a puppet whose strings have been cut. Blood is pouring from her nose and mouth. Amari, I shout out her name as she falls to the ground, but I don't have what it takes to save her. If she couldn't beat the guy, there's no way I can. If I try to take him on, I could get killed. I thought we'd have some fun, but that was nothing. Gotta hand it to you, Shinjo. This is the girl who beat you guys up? You ought to be ashamed. Sorry to put you through all this trouble. What should we do with her? Do whatever you want with her. So saying, Shinjo leaves the rooftop. Okay, you really had your way with us, didn't you? I bet you were enjoying yourself, so in return, you better make us enjoy ourselves. Amari might be unconscious. All she does is groan. What happened to all your bluster? We need you to be at full strength now. It's too soon for you to be all wiped out. Okay, take her away. The guys behind him pick up Amari. Stop it. I call out to them still in pain. Hey, that's right. Forgot about you, huh? Inoue comes over to me like he suddenly remembered my existence. You're the one we called out in the first place, right? But never mind, we'll let this one go. But she has nothing to do with it. You think we're gonna let her get away with humiliating us like this? We've gotta make her pay with her body. It really hurts where she kicked me. If she has to massage me there, I won't be able to stand the pain. But hey, we're gonna let you go free this time. You've got her to thank. Well, we really didn't care too much about you in the first place. So anyway, there's the deal. We're borrowing your girlfriend for a while. Don't worry, we'll be sure to teach her all about grown-up intercourse. With that, Inoue and the others leave, taking Amari with them. Amari still dazed as the thugs drag her away. Ugh, I'm standing all alone on the roof in my own daze. I'm still aching in several places, but that doesn't mean I can just wait around until I'm better. It won't do any good to tell the professors. The faculty doesn't stand a chance against Shinjo either. I've got to do something on my own. And if I don't hurry, something bad will happen to Amari. I try to endure the pain as I get up and wobble over to the door. I hurry back to my classroom and rush towards my seat. I open my bag and take out the book wrapped in a white cloth. As long as I've got this, clutching the book, I leave the classroom again. Where the hell did they take her? I run down the hall trying to figure out where they could have gone. Where would they most likely have gone? I've often seen them behind the school, but there's no place for them to hide a girl. Even so, it's unlikely that they left the school grounds. They couldn't just drag Amari around. It would be too much of a burden. My best bet is probably the gym storage room. Once they're inside, nobody will know they're in there. It's ideal for what they have in mind. Clutching the cloth wrapped book in my arms, I run faster towards the storage room. Slam! Crash! Takashiro suddenly emerges from the classroom and I can't avoid colliding into her. We both fall to the floor. She drops her art books and an attendance book. At the same time, I lose my grip on the cloth wrapped book. She gets up unsteadily, rubbing her behind. Oh, it's you, Minase. Are you alright? Ouch, you shouldn't have come out so suddenly. I get up too, rubbing my bruised hip. My body is screaming in pain. First the beating, and now this. No, you shouldn't have been running in the halls. Didn't they teach you that back in high school? So saying, Takashiro starts picking up the chalk that's scattered across the floor. It's all in pieces from the fall. Oh my, I'm gonna have to get some new chalk. I hastily reach for the book I dropped on the floor. I definitely don't want Takashiro to see what's inside. Out of the corner of my eye, I watch Takashiro frantically picking up the broken bits of chalk as I quickly scoop up the cloth-wrapped book a few feet away. The cloth has come undone from the shock of the fall, and you can see the book inside. I quickly cover it up again with the cloth and pick it up. Well, finally picked them all up. Takashiro's finally done putting the chalk back into its box and looks up at me. Watch where you're going next time. Takashiro brushes the dust off her clothes. I don't have time for this. I have no time to lose. See you later. I'm in a hurry. Excuse me, didn't I just tell you not to run in the halls? Ignoring Takashiro, I race down the hall. I enter the gym. Afternoon class has already started, but the gym is empty. It looks like there aren't going to be any PE classes. Perfect for Inoue and his gang. I'll bet $1 million Inoue and his gang are here. I'm convinced of this as I look at the sealed door of the storage room. I can hear voices coming from inside, there's no question. I slowly unwrap the cloth from the book in my hands. I don't care if you're a god or a demon, just help me out. Praying silently, I open the book and flip through the pages. I don't have much time. It's gotta have an instant effect, so there aren't a lot of spells I can choose from. Since I have none of the tools nor the time, I'll have to go with a charm. I already know how effective those can be. I just hope it will work this time, too. Flip, flip, flip. I flip through page after page of pentacle drawings in search of the right spell. Needless to say, I'll be playing this one by ear, so I have no idea how powerful it will be. I brush away such misgivings and pick out one I think would be appropriate. I take a pen from my uniform pocket, remove the cap, and place it against my palm. The Lord is on my side, and on the day of his great anger, he shall smite all kings. I draw a pentacle on my left palm as I whisper these words. When I'm done drawing, I open and close my fist for confirmation. I used an oil-based pen, so I'm sure it won't rub off that easily. But I don't see any changes. Is this really gonna work? The pentacle of power. I have misgivings, but right now I have no choice but to believe in it. I've never had less confidence of an unseen power. Alright. Cold steel door of the storage room. Okay. Okay, so there was an error there. I gather up my concentration by clenching my hand with the pentacle drawn on it once more, then reach for the cold steel door of the storage room. Okay. Hey, what the hell do you think you're doing? As soon as the steel door opens, I can hear Inoue's loud shriek. Just as I thought, Inoue and the others are loitering there. They're standing around Amari. It's Imari, actually. Imari! Imari gives me a blank look. Apparently nothing's been done to her yet. But they've half undressed her and you can see the white skin of her chest. Her legs are spread wide open with her underwear in full view. but something's not right. Emery's eyes are unfocused, and she doesn't seem to be able to hear what we're saying. You again? Thought you'd learn your lesson. First this girl has to save you, and now it's this, and you call yourself a man? I'll just let him say whatever he wants. The only important thing now is to save him, Emery. What did you do to Emery? We just smoked up together so we can feel good. Inoue gives me a glimpse of the cigarette-like object in his hand. I think that's just a regular cigarette, folks. You want a drag too? He puts it to his lips, inhales deeply, then exhales in my direction. The smoke envelops us, and I can smell its deep, sweet scent. Oh, it isn't a regular cigarette. This isn't your normal cigarette. I know a few people on campus who have smokes like these, too. It's like Swisher Sweets. You let Emery go right now. Are you ordering me around? You watch your mouth, dipshit. Anyway, this bitch seems to like the stuff. He leers as he says this. Emery remains in a daze, looking around her with unfocused eyes. Inoue takes another hit, then takes the joint from his mouth. Stop it! Ignoring me, Inoue brings the joint closer and closer to Emery's mouth. Emery tries to fight it, but he forces it into her mouth. Next, he pinches Emery's nose. Unable to breathe, Emery begins to struggle. Finally, she's forced to inhale the smoke. Emery begins to choke as her lungs fill with smoke. God damn you! I'm shaking with rage. What is it, Minase? Are you mad? Ha! If you got a problem with this, just bring it. I'll take you on anytime. Sneering, Inoue tries to bait me. I clench my fists. Can I really take out these jerks with this spell? If it doesn't work, then both Emery and I will be in for it. And Mari's eyes look even more drowsy than before. She's breathing heavily. Is she getting a buzz now? With that, Inoue sticks his hand between Amari's legs, spread wide open. His fingers trace her crevice, rubbing her up and down. The two thugs behind him watch this, leering as they begin to massage Emery's breasts. What are you doing? Ah, you got a problem with this? Anyway, this little bitch seems to like it. Emery is writhing with a look of confusion on her face as Inoue's fingers continue to stimulate her. It might be because she's been drugged, but Emery's getting aroused even in the state she's in. There's definitely a mature woman inside her. Just look, she's getting off. Inoue gets carried away and shoves his fingers inside. He begins to rub her up in the sensitive area of her vulva, which is discernible even through her panties. Her panties, at least. Inoue removes his hand from between Amari's legs. There's a small stain on her panties. Inoue starts sniffing the juice on his fingers. What a nasty smell. Ha 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 ha. I guess she likes me a lot better than you, wuss. Stop it right now. I can't take it anymore. I gotta believe in the power of my spell. Oh, I'm so scared. Calm down, will ya? Don't worry. I'll let you screw her after I'm done. Pardon, it's late. I'll let you screw her after I'm done. Until then, why don't you just sit back and jerk off while you're watching? If you go any farther, you'll be sorry. Oh yeah? Just what do you think you're gonna do about it, huh? There's only one of you, shithead. Do you want me to make you crawl all over the floor again? Don't think it's gonna turn out the same way this time. I say this praying inwardly with everything I have that my words will come true. Interesting. Inoue starts cracking his knuckles. Hey, somebody beat the crap out of this loser. At these words, one of the thugs comes towards me slowly with a leer on his face. He puts his hand to his hip and withdraws a retractable police baton from a pouch attached to his belt. Snap! He flings it outward and the baton snaps out with a ringing sound. Open, it's three times as long. What are you gonna do now, Minase? Why don't we call your bluff? Get him! And in my signal, the thug raises the baton. Damn it, if I get hit with that thing, I'm gonna break something for sure. The metal stick is brought down hard, slicing through the air. I close my eyes and wildly put up my left hand to protect myself. Just I think one of my bones is about to be broken. Whip, with a sharp sound, it slams into my hand. But it's the thug who shrieks in pain. Clang, clang, I open my eyes and the thug is gripping his hand in pain. The baton has fallen to the ground where it rolls around. My left hand doesn't hurt at all, even though it's where I got hit with the baton. I shake my left hand, but nothing's wrong. Aha, I'm totally fine. I stare at my hand in disbelief. What the hell happened? Inoue's eyes are about to pop out of his head. The fact is, the baton did strike the palm of my hand, but not only did my hand break, it deflected the blow. So that's the power of the pentacle. It's working. I'm convinced now, the spell is working. Now I have nothing to fear from these jerks. You had a lot of nerve. You had a lot of nerve roughing me up like that. I walk towards Inoue, cracking my knuckles. Our fortunes have been reversed. Hey, that was just a fluke. Hey, somebody shut him up. Just bring it on. I smile confidently and bait them by waving my hands. When they see me do this, they both jump me. Pow! Crack! I adopt Emery's strategy, taking them on and tossing them to the side over and over. Even my sloppiest moves are direct hits, and thanks to their lethal force, I manage to drop them all to the floor one by one. No way! I step all over the losers on the floor as I noisily dust off my hands. Okay, you're the only one left. I stare at Inoue coldly. Inoue has been watching all this, and now he smiles at me as though he's about to piss his pants. We're really sorry about what we did to you, Minase. Come on, let's be friends now. You should fight Shinjo now. Like, I can't lose my reputation. Plop! Oh, you lost your fucking reputation. Go tell your congressman father about it.
Yada.
No way. Hey, don't be like that. We're buddies, aren't we? Come on, listen. I'll do anything. Shine my shoes, faggot. I stare at this loser, my eyes cold. He'll do anything, huh? In that case, why don't I make him pay for everything? You said you'll do anything, right? Sure, that's right. Anything you say. You want money? Women? Okay, then maybe I'll make you stand in front of the school gate naked. I say this in a cold voice. What? You think I'd do something like that? Oh, you don't want to. That's okay. But I'm gonna have to break a few of your bones then. Hearing this, the blood slowly drains out of Inoue's face. Okay, I'll do it. Please let me do it. You don't want to, though. That's not true. I was just thinking how it would be great if I could stand in front of the school gate and expose myself. Nobody would ever think that. In that case, while you're at it, why don't you jerk off too in front of everyone? You little shit! Oh, I see. You don't want to do it. Inoue freezes when he sees my cold gaze. Oh, come on. I was just kidding. I'll jerk off like there's no tomorrow. Okay, then. Why don't you go? Hearing my cold words, Inoue gives up and sheds his clothes. When he's stark naked, he runs out of the storage room. His huge prick dangles and bobs between his legs. I can hear Inoue's brave cry from the storage room window. Ah, what does he think he's doing? Can you believe the size of that thing? Gross, something just came out. After Inoue leaves, I hear shrieks and yelps from outside. The sight of Inoue's naked body is causing an uproar. What a moron. With that, I walk towards Emery's limp body. Then I fix her clothes and carry her out of the storage room. Emery ended up like this because she tried to save me, so saving her in return is my responsibility. I carry the limp Emery into the infirmary, supporting her by the shoulder. Click, click, click. Inside the infirmary, Dr. Katami is at her desk typing on a laptop. Anna. Well? She notices us, quickly closes her laptop, and walks over. She's got that sexy vibe as usual as she looks us over. It feels like she's licking us with her gaze. What happened to you? Fell down the stairs. I had hand Emery over to her, giving a random excuse. Both of you? Really now? Oh well, it doesn't matter, let me treat you. Oh, there we go. Oh, hey, there's Abra. Okay, there's a few things. Key of... Oh, that's not books that a normal nurse has. Ow, ow! Come on, sit still. I can't disinfect the wound if you move around like that. I let her disinfect my cut. It's a scrape I got up on the roof. Emery is in bed. I guess she's still in a daze because as soon as she hits the bed, she falls asleep. It'll probably be better to let her rest until she gets back to normal. But how come she's in worse shape than you when you're a guy? Did she fight for you? She talks to me as she tends to my wounds. I grimace in pain. Huh? You can see a lot from this window. Katami glances towards the window. True, she probably had a good view of the rooftop from this window, so she knows everything. I was getting beaten up, and Emery jumped in to try to save me. I confess to Katami, seeing that there's no sense in covering it up. So the knight got rescued by the princess, eh? And that's why you both ended up like this? I see, so the magician isn't really what he's cracked up to be. Magician? Everyone's talking about your magic spells. I hear they're extremely effective? Delinquent students are always hanging out in the infirmary. She must have heard the rumors from them. Just like those students from 12 years ago. They were magicians too. You mean you know about that? What happened 12 years ago? Yes, of course I do. I was a student here back then. I never heard that before. They were the talk of the school, just like you are now, the resurrected coven of witches. And what happened to those students? They all died. The rumor was that they'd all been possessed by a demon who killed them. She says this calmly with a cold look on her face. Look at you, so serious. Don't tell me you really believe a story like that. No, I don't. I look down to get away from Katami's gaze. It's not a question of believing. I'd seen that basement room. It would be impossible not to believe it. That's right, I remember that I was planning to go down there again. Now that I've deciphered that ritual from 12 years ago, I'm going down there to have another look. The only clues I have are that room and that book. As long as I'm going to use that book of magic, the incident from 12 years ago will always stand in my way. It might be dangerous to keep that book until I find out what's happened. I can't even deny the fact that there's a chance I might come to the same end as those others. Alright, you're set. With that, Kitami applies a bandage to my wound. I look at it and slide off my chair. I see that afternoon classes have already ended. It might be the perfect timing. I'm going now. What? But what about Imari? I'll be back. That's all I say to her as I hurry out of the infirmary. The door opens. Book in hand, I enter the faculty room and quickly pick out the key to the basement storage room. The key's lying right where I last saw it. I put it in my pocket, quickly leave the faculty room, and head for the first floor stairs. I make sure nobody's around, then quietly open the door marked no entry. As I flick on the switch, turning on the stair lights. I flick on the switch, turning on the stair lights. As soon as I do, I can make out the dimly lit outline of the stairs in the darkness. Slowly, I walk down the stairs. Thump, thump, thump. When I get to the bottom of the stairs, my way is blocked by a cold steel door. I take the key from my pocket, stick it in the keyhole, and turn. Click. Creak. I open the steel door and enter. Under the light, using the lighter in my pocket, I manage to light a candle in the darkness. I can now make out the unchanged sight of the altar in the darkness. This is where those students who summoned a demon for the last time 12 years ago. This place still gives me creeps. The moldy, cold air, the stains all over the room, and the magic circles, they're all here as if they've been frozen in time. I walk towards the center of the room, gazing at the book of magic in my hands. The last ritual that leads those who read this book to their final destination. The power all magicians dream about, controlling evil, making it do their bidding, just like King Solomon long, long ago. This room has borne witness to how those people met their ends. I start investigating the room. Before, I didn't know what to expect, so I was confused. That's why I wasn't able to give the room a good look. But I don't really find anything substantial. The only thing I do find is that there are 7 big bloodstains here. If I remember correctly, Psyche had said there were 6. But that can be explained by assuming that Psyche merely got the wrong information. My findings are below expectations as I stand there at a loss in the silent room. I decide to try something else and unwrap the book. Flipping through the pages, I find a section about rituals. All I have to help me find the truth is this book, after all. I kick away the dust from the floor. The dust rises into the air, and I can make out the clear outline of a magic circle. I give it a closer look and find it's the same one in the book. Then I pick up the cross-shaped sword lying on the floor. The letter A is engraved on the pommel. I grip it in my hands and slowly step into the magic circle. I have the sword in one hand and the book in the other. I try out the ritual at the beginning. I trace the edge of the white circle on the floor with the point of the sword. Of course, I'm only doing this in a casual way. I have no intention of really opening the gate. Before I realize it, I'm reciting the chant from the book. In that moment, I can feel the tension in the air. I continue to chant. There are no windows in this room, but I feel a wind. I pay no attention and use the sword to trace the circle clockwise. Sound of the blade scratching blends with the sound of my voice reciting the chant, becoming a strange rhythm that echoes throughout the closed room. Forgetting myself, I continue to chant. Just then, the magic circle begins to glow bluish-white. I sense this and continue to chant. But I'm about to reach the main part of the chant. If I recite any more, I won't be able to go back. I realize this, yet I can't stop myself. Stop right there! Just then I hear a voice shouting at me from the door. I stop chanting, and I stop, snap out of my trance and look to see whose voice it was I just heard. Dr. Kitami? Kitami is standing in the doorway. But she was just in the infirmary. How could she be here now? Don't tell me she followed me? Also, now that I think about it, I'm sure that I locked the door. So how in the hell did she open it? What are you doing here? I came to rescue you, ignorant boy. Don't tell me you were really intending to summon a demon. So saying, Kitami walks towards me. I haven't seen that book in a long time. She says this as she gazes at the book I'm holding. That book is very convenient, you know. It contains many demonic secrets that were said to have been handed down from the devil. The fruit forbidden by God, those humans from biblical times ate the forbidden fruit and felt God's wrath. They were cursed and driven from Eden. Do you know why? Those who eat that fruit become God's equal. Because God was so fearful and jealous, he made it a sin for them to eat it and used that as a pretext to drive them out. In other words, that book is the forbidden fruit of knowledge, and those who partake of this forbidden fruit can become closer in stature to God. How do you know that? It's just a chair, folks. I'm wary of Kitami's words as I grip the Book of Magic. Because I practice what's in that book, you tried to use it yourself, didn't you? I'm the only one who witnessed that ritual 12 years ago from start to finish. With that, Kitami smiles eerily at me. The way she puts it, it sounds like she was a member of that coven. Those people from back then all died, didn't they? Yes, they died. There was a total bloodbath in here. I don't get what she's saying. I stare at her suspiciously. Katami's just trying to trick me. She's using her words to confuse me. Don't look at me like that. Do I look like a ghost to you? I've got 2 feet, you know. She gives me a cold smile when she says this. She said she uses the power too. If that's the case, then does she know more about this book than I do? Besides that, I can't believe there was someone else at school other than me who knew about this book. So what kind of business does a witch have with me? What have you come to get this book back? No, that's not it. If you want that book, you can have it. But only if you're one of my kind, of course. What do you mean by that? I've come to invite you. Invite me. That's right. You're someone who's been lured by magic, just like I was. I've come to save you. Kitami stares right to my eyes as she says this. You want to find out the truth about this world. To have the same power as a god, to obtain the kind of divine power no human can ever hope to have. If you desire it, you can claim it for yourself, just like I have. With that, Katami's smile twists her mouth.
So,
That's right. 12 years ago, I acquired that power. Right here. Twelve years ago, I saw hell with my own eyes. The hell of this world. And it was while I was in that hell that I made a contract with the devil. You mean she acquired the power of the ruler of hell during that ritual? But that's impossible. I mean, wasn't it a failed ritual? You don't believe me, do you? But I survived the ritual. I'm the sole survivor of that session in hell. Don't you want to have that power too? More power than you can imagine? It's the kind of power all magicians dream about. Every living entity will bow before you. If you wish it, the entire world. If you do as I say, I'll show you that dream. Of course, you have nothing to fear. So saying, Katami bites her lip. If you become my partner, we'll take a load off me. You only have to do as I tell you. That's all you have to do to acquire power and pleasure. This is a transaction. You desire, I provide. But you have to satisfy my every desire. Just do as I say. Together we can usher in a new millennium. Now then. What's it gonna be, Minase? I want to hear your answer. Okay. So, definitely I have to give in. Alright, unable to put up any more resistance, I give in to Katami. At this point, I might as well fall as far as I can. Even if I try to reject her advances in mind, my body is another agenda. From the moment I was convinced of the book's power, I knew somewhere deep down inside it I wouldn't be able to resist the temptation. It turns out that I'm just like the students from 12 years ago. I won't be satisfied unless I go all the way, even if it's the road to hell. I'm glad you said yes. Alright then. I'm going to teach you everything I know about the wonders of the dark arts. Now then, come here. Unsteadily, I fall into her arms, offering no resistance. She puts her hand on my neck and her mouth over mine. Slither, slither. Soon, Katami's long tongue pushes its way between my lips. Having someone else's tongue crawling all over the inside of my mouth, it was a strange sensation. I'm unable to resist, so I just let her have her way with me, and soon I'm intoxicated with a sweet sensation. Our tongues are eventually entwined, and our saliva mixes together in our mouths. I suck it greedily. We stay that way for a long time, then Katami finally releases me. We pull away from each other. There's a thread of our saliva stretching between us. It falls to the ground. So? Now then, get yourself out of these clothes. Show me all of you. I let Katami undress me. She tosses my pants, my jacket, and my shorts on the floor. Soon I'm stark naked. I'm embarrassed that my crotch is in plain view, so I cover it with my hands. You can't do anything if your hand's there. Come on, out of the way. Katami pushes my hand away. Well, now, you have pretty good equipment there. And it's already hard from anticipation. My prick has been erect since our kissing sensation session just now. First of all, I'm going to eat you up. With that, she pushes her lips against the tip of my prick. My rigid penis gradually disappears into her mouth. Katami skillfully manipulates my dick inside her mouth. She's good. She wraps her hot tongue around my penis, sucking hard. From time to time, she stimulates my urethra with her tongue. The pleasure's so intense, I'm ready to melt. I'm in a daze as I let myself get lost in the ecstasy. If it means I can get a taste of this, then I'm falling to the dark art. Then falling to the dark arts isn't so bad. Squish, squish, squish. Katami grips my balls in her free hand. While she continues to caress my prick in her mouth, she massages my balls. Go ahead, let it out. You're not going to be satisfied by coming just once, right? Can't hold it anymore. Do you want me to swallow it? Hold on. There's actually a choice there. Okay. Swallow it. Hurry up. I'm gonna come. I say this, desperately trying to hold back my urge to ejaculate. I guess I have no choice. Once again, she pushes her mouth against my prick and slowly slips it inside. Slide. Can't hold it in anymore. Throb, twitch, throb. As soon as she puts my cock back in her mouth, I begin to ejaculate relentlessly. I'm writhing as I begin to twitch and shoot off. Gulp, gulp. As her mouth fills with the heady smelling cum, she swallows it down noisily. Glub, glub, glub. The simulation's so strong, I can't stop ejaculating. There's so much cum, and I'm shooting off so hard that it starts to overflow from Katami's mouth, running down her chin. She can't take it and removes my prick from her mouth. Splat. Really, that's too much. Too much cum. I can't swallow all that. With that, Katami starts to lick away the thick white semen collecting around her mouth. You're still shooting off. After popping out from Katami's mouth, my prick continues to spray cum. I'm totally wiped out and I fall over in exhaustion. Alright, now I'm going to eat you with my pussy. So saying, Katami licks her lips. But my prick is starting to go soft. It can't be helped since I came just so hard just now. No way I can do it again so soon. Let me rest a minute. Don't be started. Sorry, don't be such a wuss. We've only gotten started here. But I can't do it again so soon. Don't worry. Just leave it to me. With that, Katami grabs my prick, fills her mouth with saliva, and starts to spit it out of my penis. As she whispers, she begins to pump my prick, now glistening with her saliva. Squish, squish, squish. The saliva has a lubricating effect. Her hand slips and slides as she continues to rub me. As she continues the hand job, my prick gets even harder before. The veins are distended. It's twitching as if I'm about to come. Now you can do it, can't you? My prick pops erect in her hands. My whole body is tingling. She sees what's happening, lets go of my penis, and rips off her clothes. Katami's well-built body is exposed before my eyes. Gulp. I gulp at the sight. Right in front, right within my reach, is Katami's lewd crotch. My prick goes even more erect as I anticipate thrusting myself inside. Let me put my dick inside. I ask her without even thinking about it. You want to put it in me? You want to put that nasty, engorged thing inside me? Yes, I do. I'm begging her. It's like I'm being manipulated. What do you say when you ask someone for a favor? Please let me put my dick inside you. I know how lame it must sound, but I beg her in a plaintive tone. Right now, all I can think of is penetrating Katami. I'll do anything if she'll let me. All right. I'll let you, but first I want you to lick me down there. I do as she says and lower my head to her crotch. Smack! I kiss the sensitive mound of her vulva and suck it up in my mouth. Then I used my tongue to lick at her crevice like a dog. Lick, lick. Right away, her juice starts flowing and it hits my tongue. I let my tongue run all over her crevice, licking it up. Put your whole tongue inside. I want you to lick me thoroughly inside, too. I do as she says, sticking out my tongue and pushing it inside her crevice. I push away her labia. My tongue disappears inside. Lick. I sweep my tongue all over her vagina. At the same time, I stimulate her clit with the tip of my nose. That feels great. You're pretty good at this. Glub, glub. I continue to eat her out for a long time. Katami starts breathing heavily as I bury my head in her crotch, totally out of it. I'm just about ready now. I remove my mouth from her crotch area as if I'm being peeled away. That area around my mouth is sticky with saliva and Katami's juice. Alright, now I'm gonna cleanse your body. You're gonna be baptized with my holy fluid. Stay still now. Squirt. Oh no. I hereby baptize this man, Taki Minase, in my name. Squirt, squirt, squirt. Suddenly, a stream of amber-colored fluid sprays out from Katami's crevice, splattering my face. Come on, drink it now. I raise my face and catch the spray in my mouth.
全能永遠に増す地獄の主よ。主は絶え間なく新しき子らを与え賜うにおりて、願わくは我らの志願者が洗礼の水によって新たに生まれ、主の愛子のうちに加えられんがため、彼らの信仰の知識を増したまわんことを。我らの偉大なる王、アスタロス、ベールゼプト、ルシファーに願い立てまつるものなり。
Splat. Finally, she's done peeing, and I'm released from my task. I drink so much it tastes like urine when I burp. I can't stop gagging. Well done. Now you're one of us. Okay, now it's my turn to let you inside me. With that, she places my prick against her crotch. I'm going to give you the ultimate pleasure. It's the kind of pleasure you normally wouldn't get to experience. Don't hold back. Get aroused as you want. With that, Katami slowly sinks down. Glub, glub, glub. My prick is skewering Katami's crotch. The head of my penis shoves through a crevice. I watch it slowly disappear inside her, and a feeling of intense pleasure takes over my own crotch until I'm ready to swoon. A bigger wave of pleasure than the one I felt when she was giving me head sweeps over my body. Well, how does it feel to be inside me? She's looking at me with a lewd smile on her face as I swoon. I look down and see that my prick is inserted up her vagina all the way. It feels really good. I answer in a groan. If I lose focus, I'll come. Katami's vagina seems to have a life of its own. It envelops my prick, squirming all the while. I'm going to move now. Keep your head about you. With that, Katami begins to slowly churn up and down. Squish, squish. The second she starts moving, I start convulsing from the stimulation. It feels as if my whole body has become one big sexual organ. Well, I've only just gotten started, you know. Squish, squish, squish. Just like I said, it's a pleasure so intense I'm ready to faint. I feel that my brain's gonna melt. I come close to fainting numerous times. We lie together on top of the magic circle. I'm writhing on top of that mysterious diagram. It's like I'm being raped by Katami. A priest being raped by the devil. That's the perfect description. I'm lying underneath Katami, and I have no choice but to let her do whatever she wants with me. I can't even move on my own. If I tried, I'd come in a second. We're both moaning, and the sound of our voices echo across the room like a chant. Well, isn't this the best sex you've ever had? It's the best, alright. I can't hold it in anymore. You can't come yet. Hold it in. But you don't understand. I can't hold it in. Don't worry. All of your senses are under my control. Even if you want to come, it won't be possible unless I want you to. What are you talking about? But come to think of it, even though I've had the urge to come, I keep getting the sensation that I'm being forced to hold it in. And the pleasure keeps ebbing and flowing as well, all because she's controlling me? So, normally you'd have come long ago, but I'm stretching it out, making you last a little longer. Pretty stimulating, huh? She pumps her hips as she says this. Desperately, I try to endure the stimulation. There's no way for me to relieve myself of this torture-like pleasure unless I come. But since she won't allow me to come, I have no choice but to hold back. But I've already reached my limit. If I hold it back any longer, I'm gonna go crazy. Let me come now, I'm going crazy. Desperately, I plead with Katami. If she keeps stringing me along like this, I know I'm gonna go insane. It's like I've inhaled a lethal dose of marijuana. This pleasure that I'm unable to control. A lethal dose of marijuana? This pleasure that I'm unable to control myself has exceeded the bounds of rationality. So you're almost at your limit? Alright then, I'll let you come now. I'll even let you come inside me. Now doesn't that make you happy? Makes me really happy. So let me come now. Alright, let it all out at once. With that, Katami starts pumping her hips even faster. At the same time, my orgasm peaks all at once. Splat, splat, splat. The sound of our bodies knocking against each other echoes across the room. Alright, you want to come, don't you? You want to unload your dirty cum inside me, don't you? I'm gonna come! Ah, I'm coming! Come inside me, I want you to let it all out inside my womb, she says. In that instant, my mind goes blank. I ejaculate so hard inside Katami that it feels like my prick is gonna burst. Throb, throb, throb. I can feel you combing. You're combing all over my womb. Spurt, splat, splat. I continue to come. It's like I'm taking a piss. I continue to spray cum from my dick. Katami's vagina rings out. Every last drop of semen pulled inside me. Oh my, you're still combing. You're my servant now. Alright, I'm gonna grant you the power I promised you. You're still too inexperienced to have a high-level spirit serve you, so I'm gonna give you my own demon servant, an imp. This is Rasha the Imp. Accept him now. Katami's voice cuts through the haze of my mind. I still haven't stopped coming and I'm convulsing and shivering from the pleasure. Sign this contract with me. Swear that you'll be loyal and will bring me pleasure. As she chants, she pushes her long nails against me. Her sharp nails dig into my flesh and draw blood. As she scratches my body with her nails as she moves her hands. Oh, and she scratches her body with her nails as she moves her hands. I twist my body from the pain and pleasure. When she's left a triangular mark on my body, she removes her hands. Blood is dripping from the scratches onto the floor. That finalizes our contract. You sign a contract with me. From now on, my demon servant Rasha will lend you his power. He's a kind of incubus, highly skilled in the art of lust. As a man, I'm sure you'll find a lot of use for him, won't you? As she whispers, she slowly stands up. My dick, covered in my own cum, slides out, popping out of her vagina. Now that it's been extricated, my prick is still exuding semen. Looks like you were aroused big time. That makes me happy. When she stands up, a stream of cum pours out of her crevice. It drips down her thighs and pulls onto the floor. The day is drawing near. I've got all the players. Now all I have to do is wait. But first of all, we need to get rid of those annoying flies. It would be a good way to kill time, at least. I'm counting on you, Minase. I've finally been released from my mad pleasure and slip into unconsciousness as she speaks. Wake up! Come on, I said wake up! Russell, Russell, Russell. Huh? I guess somehow or another, he was brought back home. But here we are, folks, on the next day. And I guess that'll be it for Grimm's Hentai Corner and Bible Black. And we'll definitely see you next time when there's gonna be even more crazy sex scenes. Because now he's got this incubus, and of course, it's gonna do a lot of interesting things. You'll see. At any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I am out of here. See you next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner.